In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't worry, St. Paul seems to say today. Don't worry. Wait for our Lord. It's only a little longer yet. Advent is a time for longing, for waiting. And today, already, it pays to wait. Our expectation turns to joy. Gaudete, rejoice this Sunday, because we know that our Lord is nigh. But remember, our job is to want him to come and to wait until he does, patiently. I remember when I first was made a bishop, confirming in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and there were some Indians who had come to see me from another state with a petition. They had the idea, Indians get ideas, that I would come at 10 o'clock in the morning. No one had said that. And actually, this confirmation was scheduled for 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So all the Indians just sat down in the courtyard, and they waited all day until I got there. They waited. Did you ever consider that the first pages of the Holy Gospel, particularly in St. Luke, the first pages of the Holy Gospel are like a waiting room in the winter time? Everybody see all the names on the clipboard, waiting to see Dr. Jesus. First of all, there's Elizabeth and Zachary. They're waiting for the birth of the last prophet, their son, John the Baptist. And then over in the temple are Anna and Simeon. They're waiting for Jesus, the Messiah. And then comes, most of all, our model of holy expectancy, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And don't forget good Saint Joseph, gentle in his grief. He's waiting on God and the Mother of God to let him in on the secret so that he may understand what is going on. The scene is like a waiting room, except everyone is patient and no one is stressed or angry. They're waiting for something good, something new to happen. Someone good, someone new to come and to save us from our sins. They're waiting for Jesus. I did a good deal of waiting myself for my trip to Argentina this month. I figure door to door, it's about 24 hours. And as you know, when you travel, there's a lot of waiting involved, waiting for planes and waiting in lines. And there was a long line to get through passport control when I got there, and then a long wait for the luggage. And of course, one of the bags didn't make it, and a long wait for customs. And one of the other men in the crowded room was screaming in Spanish at the customs man because he didn't want to have to wait so long. When I finally got through all of the formalities and out the door, of all things, there was no one waiting for me. The priests were expecting me the next day. And so a phone call was needed and more waiting. Expectation, one writer notes about Advent, is knitted into the very fiber of our being. What one of our children does not expect gifts, even the ones who aren't too well behaved, this Christmas? Of course they do. It's the custom. They've been raised with that. And if they didn't find anything under the tree come Christmas morning, how reasonable it would be for these little ones to be bitterly disappointed. What about you? What about the expectations in your life? What happens, say, when the car breaks down, or if your Christmas plans are ruined by some great storm. What happens when a loved one dies? If someone tries to comfort you by telling you, well, these things happen, so just get over it. Weather turns bad and people do die. Their words, even if well meant, would strike you as unreasonable. Of course you're sad, you're disappointed. The saints themselves were. Remember St. Teresa of Avila in one of her journeys? The wheel comes off the carriage and plop, down it goes into the mud in the middle of a stream in a rainstorm. And she let our Lord hear about her displeasure. Or how once the devil sent a great rain and hailstorm towards St. Anthony when he was preaching an outdoor sermon. And he, knowing it, stopped the weather until his words were finished. Or St. Francis de Sales and the Curé of Ars, who were in, not the Curé of Ars, I'm sorry, Padre Pio. These two men, saints that they were inconsolable in their weeping after their mothers died. And I think this proves the point that to be upset is something normal, natural. It is thus reasonable at times and within limits. Why is that? Because, you see, it's the way God made us. We are all the time waiting, expecting something else, something better, something good. What is it that is going to bring us happiness? It's not pleasure. Don't make that mistake. Henri Bergson, the writer, says that pleasure is connected with the senses. It is a contrivance, just that, devised by nature for the creature, for the preservation of life. As an individual, the pleasure you feel when you eat or drink or sleep or breathe, or the same rule obtains even unto the most sacred satisfaction which Almighty God has attached to the holy duty of procreation. But this is pleasure. It is of the senses. It's passing. Happiness is not pleasure. Happiness comes from a person, even our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who not only brings, but is that peace which passeth all understanding. The fulfillment of all joy. What we've been looking for all along. And just as well, because he's been looking for us. Oh, happy meeting. But not perhaps in the way we'd been expecting him. Are we ready this Advent? Remember the three comings of Christ. St. Bernard preached about it once. First at Christmas, the anniversary of his birth, his birthday. Are you ready? I'm not just talking about the external decorations or presents, but I mean, or cooking, but something on the inside. That leads us to the second preparation. That's why Father Thielen is sitting, waiting in the confessional this morning. Are you ready in your own hearts and souls to receive the gift of grace, to do penance, to make those changes you know you need to, so that you can welcome him by grace into your hearts? The third coming of Christ is quite a challenge. It refers to Christ's coming at the end. First of all, at the end of our lives. People don't make preparations for death anymore. In the old days, that was a popular devotion, the Bonamores. It was called the Good Death Devotion. But after all, we still say in the Hail Mary many times a day, don't we? Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. It would almost seem, though, to us odd to meet someone who really longed to die to be dissolved, St. Paul says, and to be with Christ. But St. Vincent Ferrer says, unless you long for paradise, unless you really want to go to heaven, you won't when you die. You'll end up a long time in purgatory. Because heaven is a gift that comes only to those who desire it. The last coming of Christ is his last coming. And who of us ever even thinks of it? This is what St. Paul had in mind when he wrote this epistle to the Philippians. The Lord is nigh, he meant, at the end of the world. Do we ever long and pray for Christ to come in glory on the clouds from the east to cleanse away all the filth of this world, of this society? I mean, to go down into the Vatican and drive out all of the heresy and all of the modernism there and all of the plots and the plans and the conspiracies being hatched in Washington and New York and Tel Aviv and Moscow. And for Christ to come and set it aright and reign as king, our Lord says, look up then, lift up your heads, for your salvation is at hand. But until he does come quickly at the end, he comes another way, quietly, unannounced. And usually we leave him standing there, like a bishop with no one to greet him at an airport. He comes to clean up first, not Washington or Rome or New York, but to clean up you, to move at the very least some of the furniture out of your overstuffed soul to make room for himself, if only you will let him. How does he come last of all and always? He comes with a cross. St. Louis de Montfort says, the most faithful servants of the Blessed Virgin, being her favorites, receive from her great graces, which are crosses. All of the contradictions and the humiliations, the problems of life. Most of us miss these gifts because we're not looking for them, and we never think of sitting down to unwrap them. But look, when a cross comes, it's hand-fitted for your shoulder. And speaking of shoulders, when Christ puts the cross on yours, it will be either a chip on your shoulder or wings there, so that you may fly like a dove and be at rest. St. John Bosco, a kind of a precursor in this sense of the message of Our Lady of Fatima, said, the penance God wants from us is obedience. There is plenty to put up with in the way of heat and cold and sickness and the tiresome ways of others. That about covers it, doesn't it? If only we could bear the way we think we are being treated by others without retaliation, without invoking sanctions or planning a counterattack. What sanctity would be found there? We would be ready for Jesus to come as our judge. A waiting person, last of all, remember this, is a patient person. Think of those Indians sitting outside all day, waiting. Patience comes from the Latin, of course, patior. I suffer. To suffer through the present moment and willing to stay right where we are. We don't want to lose our place in line here in Dr. Jesus' waiting room. Impatient people are always expecting something to happen somewhere else. And that's why they want to get up and go somewhere else. And they do. But patient people stay where they are. They know they don't have much longer to wait. And they even manage to rejoice. And why not? The Lord, who is peace, passing all understanding, is near. He is so terribly close. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.